Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the All EN Payments conference call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you would like to register for an audio question, you may press the 1 followed by the 4. If you require operator assistance, you may press star 0. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded today, Tuesday, February 24th, 2015. It is now my pleasure to introduce Janet Cousins, DSS and Help Desk Supervisor. You may begin, ma'am.
Thank you, France. Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Ticket to Work program, Monthly Employment Network Payments Call. We do want to welcome our new employment networks that are joining us for the first time, and thank you for working with Social Security beneficiaries. Thanks also to our returning ENs who join us each month. We do hope that this call continues to help you understand the many intricacies of payment processing for the Ticket to Work program. Again, my name is Janet, and I am the supervisor for Payments Help Desk and the Document Support Services team, and I do host this forum each month. Joining me, as usual, is Deborah Tennessee, manager of the Ticket Operations Department for the program, and Kathy Dyson, who's our consultant and training coordinator with the Ticket Operations team. We also have several members of the Social Security Administration, Office of Research, Demonstration, and Employment Support team. Regina Bowden, the director, is with us. Danielle Armstrong, Natalie Sendedorfer, Janice Edwards, Teresa Schilling, as well as our special guest, Kara Kaplan, who's the branch chief of EN Services Branch. Now, we'll be using a presentation for today's call, and that presentation will be posted on the website under the events page once the call is completed, but you can certainly follow along via the web link for the call. This will be an interactive session, and you will be invited to ask questions near the end of the presentation. Please do not provide any information regarding your personal cases when asking questions due to confidentiality concerns. We also have the chat room available for you, and if we're not able to address all of your questions or concerns, we'll certainly follow up with you after the call. So today, we will be focusing on how to avoid payment processing delays. And again, once we talk through those scenarios, we'll provide an update on the new ticket portal. So focusing on avoiding payment processing delays, let's take a look at three particular areas. One is we want to make sure that the SAM registration information that each EN is required to provide is correct and updated. The second item we'll be focusing on is encouraging timely tax filing for self-employed ticket holders. And then the third item we'll be looking at is making sure that when payment requests are submitted, they are complete with all Are you ready for the new ticket portal? This is the portal that will replace the current service provider portal that you're accessing today. And again, we'll have an update on the current status of that deployment. All right, well, let's get started with SAM. SAM is our system for award management, and it is a profile that each EN is required to set up and ensure is ready and available for use for the ticket program. Many employment networks are experiencing issues with Social Security's inability to process payments due to the expiration of the Employment Network's SAM profile. SAM registrations are active for 1 year. Employment networks must renew this registration annually via the www.sam.gov website. EMs are encouraged to periodically review their account information, especially the banking information, so that Social Security and the U.S. Treasury is able to process payments. They will be unable to make payments if their profile is not active or does not have current banking information. Now, when this occurs, SSA will notify an EN if payments are held because its SAM registration has expired. However, it really is the EN's responsibility to verify this and ensure that their SAM registration is current. Now, if you need to change your banking information and have pending payment requests that are being processed, please reach out to the Payments Help Desk team to alert us of the change. This way, it will allow us to place the payments that are being processed on hold until the banking information is updated throughout the various Social Security Administration systems and ensure that your payment requests are processed with the correct banking information. It's a very important step to ensure that payments are made to the correct account. Now, each time you submit a payment request via the Secure Provider Portal, you are asked to confirm that your bank account information is current. You can see here on the presentation, there's a question right there that says, is the financial institution and bank account information provided in the System for Award Management current? And you must answer yes or no. Please do not ignore this important reminder. All right, let's take a look at another area where we may be able to avoid payment processing delays. And that's related with self-employment income beneficiaries. Many employers are hiring increasing numbers of independent contractors. These are employees who receive a 1099 instead of a W-2 form. In this circumstance, the beneficiary is being paid by an employer, but no taxes are being withheld and reported to the IRS. It is the beneficiary's responsibility to file their taxes at the end of the year, provide their 1099 from their employer, and pay their taxes. The IRS also allows a process for periodic payment of taxes throughout the year. If an EN submits a payment request for an SEI beneficiary for milestone claims, it will likely take longer to process because payments cannot be made to an EN until Social Security records show monthly earnings reported by the beneficiary have been verified. SEI earnings information provided by the IRS is usually posted in the Social Security database up to 6 to 8 months after the beneficiary files their annual tax return or periodic tax report with the IRS. Now, outcome claims are paid based on information supplied on the payment request or the SEI form. Now, EMs do take a risk when submitting these claims because beneficiaries may report greater dollar amounts for expenses when they file their income taxes in order to reduce their income and tax liability. So when this is later recorded to the Social Security records, the EN may be charged an overpayment if the earnings do not meet the qualified amount for SGA. When submitting a payment request for a self-employed beneficiary, an employment network should include and indicate that the ticket holder is self-employed in Section 2 of the payment request form. They must also provide at least one form of evidence. The first form is completing the recent contact section of the payment request form, which is referred to as Section 7 and is shown here on the slide. Be sure to include the gross earnings, expenses, and net income in the description area of the form. You can see the red arrows indicating where that can be defined. The second form of evidence is you can actually complete the self-employment information form. That's SSA form 1368. It is accessible via the website under the information resources section in the form link. Another option is you can simply write a statement or provide an invoice from the ticket holder that has the gross earnings, expenses, net earnings, and specifies the months or years the ticket holder was actively involved. When submitting a payment request for a self-employed beneficiary, the SEI form here does ask for the same information as indicated on the previous page. You would fill in the beneficiary information, again, the gross income, gross expenses, net income, indicating the months that this is being reported as indicated here. All right, let's look at the third area that we want to make sure that it's complete and accurate when submitting payment requests. So again, you're entitled to receive payments for services you provide that help beneficiaries along the path to self-sufficiency. In order to receive these payments, you do need to complete and submit the payment request form. And this starts by determining whether a payment is available. We do have a detailed training presentation available as part of our Ticket Training Tuesday series, and it explains the ticket assignment requirements, choosing the ticket payment method, and the various requirements for the milestone outcome or the outcome payment method. And you can find that presentation on our website by clicking on the information resources and the training tab. So let's just move forward with the idea that you've signed your ticket and now you're submitting your payment request. So for our purposes today, we're going to use the Secure Provider Portal process to submit that request. So once in the portal, you'll click on the payment request link under the payment section of the website, as indicated by the red arrow here. And it also gives you an option to upload a completed payment request form via an upload link that you'll have available to you. All right, so once you submit that link and you're ready to complete the information, again, we've seen this page before, and the payment request form does automatically include your employment network name and DUNS number based on your login, and you will want to state whether your bank information is correct or not, as we mentioned before. You'll enter the beneficiary SSN, the employer name and address, and the payment method for ticket assignment, and then move on to the next page. Next, you'll be prompted for the claim months that you're requesting. Claim months should fall between the assignment date and the current date. Please enter applicable claim months in the month and year format. You can add multiple claim months by clicking on the small green plus sign that in order to add another row. And you can include up to three ranges in a single submission in the current portal today. Remember, if you're submitting Phase 1 payments, select the appropriate milestones under payment type or stage, and the portal will expand the page, allowing you to enter and submit Phase 1 Milestone 1 earnings information and the EN services details as applicable. Remember, if you're submitting a form that you are completing yourself, then this same information needs to be provided in that form before you upload it through the portal, mail it into us, or fax it into us. If you're submitting the payment request for Phase 1 Milestone 1, please select the user's earnings information from the drop-down. And that's what this is showing here. EN service details. Again, when submitting the payment request for Phase 1 Milestone 1, 2, or 3, we do need to have the EN service details completed. Only list services offered between the assignment date and the last claim month that you've cited. You can add additional lines about services rendered on a different date range. And again, click the small green plus sign to add another row. Once this has all been input, then you can click next. The next step here is to indicate whether this is evidentiary earnings or certification payment request, or both in the respective sections, as indicated by the red arrows here on the presentation. Now, system will process the request based on your choices and the payment request type check. Now, you must check the repayment agreement as indicated by the red arrow in the upper left-hand corner of the second screenshot here before proceeding to submit. The system will then electronically sign on your behalf, and the portal will populate contact information if available, but please make sure the phone and fax numbers are correct. These are mandatory fields, so that if we need to, operations support manager or Social Security needs to reach you, we have the correct information. There's also another option through the current portal that allows you to upload additional supporting documents as necessary. You will need to scan any documents, and the preference is to save them as a TIFF document or a PDF file format. And once those are scanned, the documents, you would select choose file and go ahead and upload the documents using the upload button there. Your last step here is to review the summary that's provided for you. Make sure it is accurate. If there's any errors, you can click the return button and go back to the previous screen. If it is correct and everything is ready for submission, click the next button to complete the request. The portal also provides this confirmation page. And at this point, it has been submitted. And it would be helpful for you to print this page if you'd like. To save as a part of your records. The confirmation number that is referenced there is something that is always helpful to reference if you do have a follow-up question and need to reach out to our payments help desk team. The portal also allows you to upload additional forms. So there may be times when the payment processing team will ask you to provide additional supporting documentation once you submit the payment request form, or if you have additional documents that you'd like to include with your request, there is this feature to upload forms. So again, you'll scan and save the documents and then follow this process to upload those forms into the portal by choosing that upload forms from the menu items on the left-hand side there. Choose the document type that you're going to upload. And in our case, of course, you'll be choosing the payment request form as the document type, and then submit the document. It is helpful if you can ensure that when you're uploading documents, you submit separate uploads for each beneficiary at a time. Okay, well, that covers the three bullets focused on avoiding payment processing delays. There's some key information there. We're kind of focused in on those three points because we have had a number of requests come in where we've had to reach out or follow up, or you know, payments have been delayed for one of those three reasons. France, what I'd like to do is take a few minutes to open up the phone lines and see if we have any questions associated with these three topics at this time.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register for a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. You will hear a three-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, you may press the 1 and the 3. Once again, to register, you may press the 1 followed by the 4.
This is Natalie from SSA. I just wanted to add one correction to that. For self-employment, it only goes by the taxes the beneficiary has filed, not by what they report to the field office.
Correction.
Okay. Okay, Natalie. Thank you for that clarification. Maybe I misspoke on something, but thank you for that clarification.
You're welcome.
Based on what the IRS shows as confirmed taxes, not necessarily based on what the beneficiary may report to the local field office.
Correct.
Great. Thank you.
And Ms. Cousins, we have a question at this time from the line of Mark Marsh. You may begin.
Good afternoon, and thank you for allowing me the opportunity to ask this question. it's self-employment income. I have a beneficiary who in the month of January actually had her first month of self-employment income. She went to the local field office, submitted copies of the checks that she received. This was going to be a 1099 at the end of the year. And her accountant had suggested that she really didn't need to have the taxes set up and withheld, given that she's just started off. But what I'm hearing now is that even though she's reported it to Social Security and copies of the payments that she received have been submitted, that until those taxes are withheld and set up in a separate account for that purpose for the IRS, then until that happens, there would be no payment request to be submitted. And secondly, the Form 1398, which is your self-employment income, the SEI form, looks like it requires a beneficiary's signature in addition to the address and telephone number and that kind of thing. So does the beneficiary's signature need to be on this form if you're submitting it through the portal?
No, excuse me, this is Deborah Tennessee. No, it does not. The form, we've created the form to make it easier for whoever's reporting SEI information to make sure that they fill out all the fields, that it's gross income, expenses, and net, as well as the period. But the SEI form is not really required as long as the EN reports those three items, the gross, the expense, and the net amount for each month, that's fine. But it does not. The form does not have to be signed.
Okay, but then the first question related to, thank you for that. The first question, however, relates to the fact that there's no payment that would be made to the EN for self-employment until the IRS verifies that the taxes have been paid or withheld for an anticipated payment. Like, you know, you don't file your taxes.
It depends on the type. Go ahead.
Deborah, this is Danielle. You want me to answer?
Go ahead,
okay.
Danielle.
This is Danielle Armstrong from SSA. Your question is twofold. If the beneficiary has gone into the field office and they've reported earnings and the field office has verified and posted those earnings as verified to the SSA record, yes, we can make you a payment. Generally, that doesn't always happen for self-employment. So the most common practice is once they have filed taxes and we see what's been withheld and we get the end result because they could have deductions and different things. Now, if they do that and they do verify it, but then they go back and they do reductions and then the earnings change that are posted, that could also affect the payment as well.
Right. One other point for that, we're talking about verified earnings as it relates to milestone payments. We need to have verified earnings for milestone payments. However, for outcome payment requests, we do not have to have verified earnings for SEI information. But the EN is taking a risk there because, as Janet mentioned and as Danielle just mentioned, and this information that is reported on the payment request, if the EN decides to decrease the amount of expenses when they, increase the net, the amount of expenses when they go file their income tax, so their net income is less for them to pay less taxes, that net income may be below SGA, which is the requirement for an outcome payment. And at that point, when we get the information in from IRS, it's possible that there would be an overpayment. So there's some risk there.
And does trial work also come into play initially?
You still have to meet the requirements for earnings. So growth minus expenses, if it's a milestone payment, phase one, the net amount has to be trial work level or above if it's for a phase one milestone claim. If it's a phase two milestone claim, growth minus expenses must be at the net income must be at SGA level. The criteria for earnings doesn't change at all. Okay?
Okay, I got it. And one last thing on that is number of hours. If in a particular month on self-employment the earnings are pretty low, but they've spent, 2,500 hours working with no income to show for it, do hours come into play on self-employment as well?
Is that something SSA could answer?
Sure. This is Danielle from SSA. We don't use hours. The bottom line of your payment is going to be based on the beneficiary's actual wages.
Okay. Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Great question.
Once again, as a reminder to register, you may press the 1-4. Our next question from the line of Steve Gorky. Please go ahead.
Hello, Steve.
Yeah, hello. Hi. Just a couple questions. Number one, in terms of evidentiary information, once you have submitted a payment request via the portal, I assume you're just scanning in their pay stubs. You didn't mention anything about doing that, but I assume there's a step in there for that.
Yes, Steve. If you have pay stubs that you want to include as part of your evidentiary documents, that is an option through the portal experience to upload and include with your payment request.
Okay. And then the next question I had was regarding self-employment again. I have one individual I'm working with in this situation, so I'm going to be confronting this here soon. So in any case, in terms of someone submitting their taxes, in terms of trial work level, the IRS is going to indicate, what their income is. So the only way that you can identify or assume trial work levels being achieved is by those by something like the form, the 1368 form. Is that correct?
You're trying to. You mean how did we determine monthly earnings?
Well, in terms of achieving trial work level, I assume you're using those quarterly income statements from the client, either submitted in or submitted by the employment network to indicate that they achieve those trial work levels, because the IRS is only going to send the gross income or net income.
Normally by Social Security, and looking at annual income based on what IRS supplies Social Security with, normally what happens is that gross amount is divided by 12 to come up with an estimated monthly amount.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because there's really no way we can verify what each monthly amount is, especially when the beneficiary at the time that they file their taxes changes any of the information that was submitted initially on the quarterly report. Again, they can increase their expenses, they can reduce mm-hmm. the growth. Any of that can happen.
I see.
Okay.
Okay. So the gross income after expenses mm-hmm. is divided by 12?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not the gross income, net income.
It's the net amount that's reported as income, yes.
And then that's what you use to identify whether the trial work level has been achieved.
Trial work level, whether or not if the beneficiary is up in a phase two milestone, even for SGA or for outcomes for SGA, yes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
France, we have another. Our next question from the line of Janet Steveley. Please go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to follow up on that question. That, as I understood it, for beneficiaries in terms of figuring out when they've used their trial work periods and whatnot, with self-employment, that isn't during the trial work period actual NESI for that month considered versus average NESI?
There is no way for us to verify monthly income based on what is reported to us upfront versus what goes with IRS. Since IRS earnings are annual, we cannot tell whether or not what the beneficiary or the EN submitted on behalf of the beneficiary for January is the same amount that the EN considers for the month of January when they complete their total net amount reported to SSA. So this is one way of coming up with a monthly earnings, other than what Danielle mentioned before. If the beneficiary goes into the field office, and at that time, the field office can verify or confirm those monthly earnings as it occurs, then we can use a monthly amount.
So if the beneficiary, if we filled out the, I think it's called the FBI form, and it, because based on, I'm thinking of somebody from last year that I've submitted payment requests on where he had certain months where he was over the trial work level, but probably on the average, if you average it out, he was probably under trial work level.
For the year?
Yeah.
It could have been. I mean, we look at some other information, too, that we have available in trying to determine what the monthly amount is, but most of the time for SEI, all we have is, unless the beneficiary went to the field office to have those earnings verified on a monthly basis, normally all we have is the annual earnings that are reported to the IRS.
So would the information that I submit that he signed be verification?
That's not a verification. Mm-hmm. What you reported on the SEI form?
Uh-huh.
That's not a verification. Normally what happens, we get no other income or earnings information from SEI until the IRS submits to us the earnings information that the beneficiary has reported on their IRS. So normally if it's a milestone request, and this is for everybody who's listening, if it's the SEI, if their SEI earnings, if the beneficiary has not gone into the field office to report those earnings and the field office has not verified a monthly amount, we are going to hold that request in diary until we receive earnings from the IRS. And we look at those annual earnings, yes, because we do know that that dollar amount is correct. That's at least what the IRS is sending to us based on what the beneficiary has reported. But other than, this is self-reporting in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Right. And how does that affect timely progress reviews for that person?
Well, a timely progress review, isn't that after? That's going to be a year or more after this, right?
Yeah, but for instance, he really has hit over trial work in certain months. But if you average it out, if you're basing it on averages, then it won't go up.
Well, I really can't answer any questions on TPRs because that's not our area here, but I think a lot of that for TPR is even self-reporting.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Janet. Good question.
We have no further questions at this time.
Excellent. Now, Kathy, you mentioned there's a couple of questions in the chat room.
Yes, actually. I'm going to actually ask the questions in order in which they came in. But the third question, it's kind of ongoing, so I'm going to leave that one for last so that that's a good round-the-table discussion. The first question came from Spencer, and Spencer asked, does a SAM annual renewal, is it required for the all workforce ENs, even though they are enrolled in the auto pay? Is that something you can answer, Natalie?
Yes, everyone needs to be enrolled in the SAM. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
And the next question came from May, M-A-I, so forgive me if I'm pronouncing it incorrectly. And she asked, does SSI and SSDI receive 1099s? I'm going to leave that open to SSA to respond.
I think they do receive 1099.
I know. This is Deborah. I know SSDI does receive a 1099. I wasn't not too sure about SSI to say 100%, but I know the SSDI beneficiaries do.
Okay, thank you. So now we have here from Mindy, and let me, if I may, just get back to her original concern.
We only have 15 minutes.
Mindy concerned, and she has a lot of input from the other ENs that are on the chat. She wanted to know, basically, why is it that for self-employed beneficiaries that we have to look at the net? What does taxes have to do with it? Where with the regular wage and beneficiaries, we look at their gross versus the net.
Because, if somebody at SSA, if they want to take that, they can. If not, I'll answer. Does anybody at SSA want to take that? Okay.
You can take it.
The question was, why do, for SEI, we look at net income instead of gross? Whereas on regular employers, we look at gross income, and they wanted to know what the taxes and all that have to do with anything.
Taxes.
The reason why we look at the net is because anybody who is SEI pays taxes on their net income, whereas for anybody else who works under what we call regular, where the employer takes out withholdings for whatever reason, they are taxed on the gross amount, meaning there are no expenses or none of that involved in a regular a worker, but taxes are paid on gross for regular, taxes are paid on net income for SEI.
So just to clarify that, employees who receive a W-2 form from an employer, that income is taxed based on gross income, whereas self-employed individuals who receive 1099s, they are taxed based on their net income, which is gross minus expenses. I hope that clarifies the question for the person who submitted that through the chat. Well, those are some great questions, a lot of good interaction. Thanks, everyone, for your participation in that. We'd like to take the last few minutes of the call to now turn our attention to the new ticket portal that's coming pretty soon. It's very exciting stuff, and we wanted to give you an update on the progress of the portal transition. So I do have one slide here that I'm sharing for those that are following along online that kind of speaks to a high-level timeline of activities and events that are going on. This week, and actually just before the call began, there was an announcement that was sent out, and it is related to a new web page that Operations Support Manager has launched with information about the new portal rollout. That information on the link, and it's accessible through our Ticket to Work website under the Information Center link. It includes information about the browser requirements for the new portal, ticket portal access readiness information. It has instructions on how to request access to the new system, and it also provides links to suitability requirements and information. So check your email for that announcement and take some time to go out to the website to look at the information there. In March, we will have presentations during all of the all-EN calls, beginning with the all-employment network call on Thursday, March 5th. That's a call you should definitely plan to attend and receive more information with some samples of what the new portal will look like. And then just take some time to review the materials on the web page, and there's a document that was included with the announcement today that you should also review. Kara, again, thanks for joining us on the call today and for being patient as we talk through the payment information. I'd love to have you share some additional information for the employment networks on the new ticket portal timeline and rollout preparations.
Good afternoon. I don't have any real new news, but as you know, the portal is going to go live the end of March. ENSB is working ferociously to get everybody enrolled. If you have not enrolled in the portal yet, it is very important that you do so. You must sign up for a MySSA.gov account with extra security. You will then need to contact your ENSB specialist with your user ID, your social security number. We must have a copy of your security awareness training and your suitability we can check ourselves. If you're not signed up for the portal, you will lose some functionality that you currently have in the Maximus portal. I mean, basically all you'll be able to do is put ticket assignments and payments through paper, and you'll lose everything else you now have through the Maximus portal. The Maximus portal is going away, so please sign up for the SSA portal as soon as you possibly can. And that is it.
Great. Thank you, Kara, for that update. We do have a few more minutes. France, if you can open up the lines and see if we have any additional follow-up questions, whether it's about the presentation or the new ticket portal timeline.
Absolutely. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, to register for questions or comments, you may press the 1 followed by the 4. And we do have a few questions. And the first one is from Kenesha Humphrey. You may go ahead.
Hi, I do have a question. We're actually going through the process of becoming an EN, and I wanted to know, can the portal be accessed if you're not an active EN as of yet?
No, it can't. You must be an active EN with suitability clearance.
Okay. And I know that you're going to be doing away with the Maximus portal.
I don't believe you can go in the Maximus portal unless you're an active EN either.
No,
Okay.
No, it does both the current and the future portal does require suitability clearance.
Okay, and once we're finished with our suitability clearance, then we'll be able to access the portal, correct?
Yeah, well, you need the other things I mentioned, and my suggestion is that you do all of the other stuff now, because any citizen of the United States can do that. So that way you will be prepared sooner than later. So
okay.
I would go into the MySSA.gov and get your account with extra security. And then when, if you're, or do you have a proposal in the process now, or?
I believe our company has the proposal, and I know that I believe they faxed our information to Social Security for the eQuip, but we're just waiting to get a response on whether to go through the next step.
Then if you already have got the stuff for the eQuip, you should be an awarded EN. You should already be an EN.
Oh, okay. Okay. So I can go under the MySSA and just sign up for that, correct?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay. Okay. No, I believe we do.
What state are you located in?
We're located in California.
Okay.
Yeah, we got. I believe we're awarded. We just haven't finished the suitability requirements yet.
Okay. And what is the name of your organization?
Celico.
Okay. Because as soon as you have suitability clearance, and you should get a letter from Social Security saying you have that, I would contact your. You can contact enservice@ssa.gov.
Okay.
And they can register you into the portal. You know, you need your MySSA.gov account information as well, but they can register you in the portal right then and there. So I would sign up for your MySSA.gov as soon as possible.
Okay. 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 That's all the questions that I have.
Thanks, Kanisha.
Thank you.
Glad to have you and look forward to working with you more in the future.
Oh, I look forward to as well.
Thank you.
We do have another question from the line of Diana Bernardini. Please go ahead. Diana, your line is open. You may go ahead with your question.
Sorry, I had my phone on mute too.
Okay.
I just want to clarify really quick for the new portal. We need to contact our ENSB with our username, did you say our social security number and the security form?
Yeah, you need your user ID, your social security number, and your security awareness training letter.
Okay. All right. And we just
and I know you already have suitability clearance, so.
Right, right. And we just include that in the body of the email, or do they want
that? No. You don't want to send that in an email because you don't want to send your social security number in an email. So you can either fax it to us or you can call your EN service representative.
Okay. All right. Great. Thanks.
And we have no further questions at this time.
Great. Well, thanks, Diana, for those questions and Kara for providing great answers. Kathy, let's just check once more to see if there's any additional questions in the chat room.
Yes. I see that Latasha has actually had an opportunity to chime in and answer the questions on the chat, but let me, if I may, verbalize it for those that are not on the chat. Currently, the website is down for those that have been trying to access the PowerPoint presentation. So once it's back up, then that will be made available. Also, there will be a transcript available as well. So that's an update.
Excellent. Any additional questions?
And I do see one from Judy, and Judy is asking, will we still be able to fax in payment requests, or will it be mandatory to use the new portal only? Good question.
Right now, you will be able to fax it in. In the future, that may change.
Great. Thanks, Kara, for that response. Was that all the questions, Kathy, in the chat room?
And I believe the question here is, will we be able to upload the beneficiary's information through maybe she's asking the portal, meaning the payment requests, IWPs, et cetera. So I believe she's asking through the new portal, will there be other opportunities other than submitting payment requests?
There will be, yes.
And the answer is yes.
Yeah, again, for everyone listening, please mark your calendars for Thursday, March 5th, and do plan to participate in the All Employment Network call. Actually, all of the All EN calls for the month of March will provide additional information and details about the new ticket portal, the timelines, the requirements that Kara mentioned. And in preparation and prior to those calls, again, we invite you to go out to the website, click on the information resource section, and look at the new link there that was announced this afternoon that has a lot of documentation and information there about what preparations you should be taking place right now. France, one last check for any questions through the phone.
We have none at this time. However, as a last reminder, to register, you may press 1-4. And we have no registrants at this time. Back to you.
Excellent. Thank you, France. And again, thanks to all of you on the phone, our wonderful SSA partners, as well as all of the ENs that called in or joined us from the chat today. We do hope that the information shared was helpful for you. And if you have any follow-up questions or any suggestions for future topics for this forum, please send them to our EN Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.com, and we'll be happy to ensure that we follow up with you. Again, our meetings occur the last Tuesday of each month, and next month we'll be meeting on, I think it's March 20, I'm sorry, I don't have that date in front of me. Last Tuesday of the month, 3 p.m. Eastern time. Have a great day, and again, thanks for your participation. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude the conference call for today. We thank you all for your participation. Have a great day, everyone.